I knew this would happen. I knew this would happen. It would not go smoothly today.
Oh well.
What do we expect any better from me?
Okay, everybody who's new that's listening to the show, stuff happens. And you can either be mad
frequently.
At us.
Frequently.
You can either be mad at us. Here's something else. Nick's computer never works. So anybody out there, I'm gonna throw this out there again. Send this man a computer. If you got one.
Can I just throw in real quick that it had stopped recording while I was out?
Are you joking?
I'm not joking. But it's fixed now.
Wow.
So I got to fix the phone number, fix this.
I'll tell you
fix
what.
Everything.
Everybody out there in Radio Land, give Nick a high five. Poor fella. You should see him. He looks so cute in his little polo.
It is a nice polo. I don't know where the heck I got it, but I found it in my closet one day. So
yeah, it happens. Yeah. All right, the pen this weekend, guy. It's Eric. You've been to the pen before?
No,
this is your first
one.
Yeah. What are you thinking right now going into it?
Oh wow, I'm pretty excited actually. Just being used to doing this. Been on a couple of different ghost hunts before. This is just a really exciting thing. This is like the big deal around our area, so we get people from all over the world come and want to stay at the penitentiary. We're actually going to get to do that.
There. Yeah, they filmed Scooby-Doo there.
The
monsters, the second one, the monsters.
And I'm excited the fact that, you know, we get to bring a little bit of our area to, I mean, we got people from North Carolina, from Eastern PA.
And all your 26,000 listeners right now that you know aren't just from Wheeling.
Don't make our mess ups.
Yeah, just trying to put it in perspective for you.
Oh my, we messed up in front of that many people.
It wouldn't be a first time.
No, it isn't.
No.
I don't know what Lil was just talking away.
We're trying to get our next guest on the phone. So when that happens,
3 hours. But now, talking about what we're doing, you know, where we're going to the prison and everything. We have 31 people going. We're going to be having pizza that we're getting from a local DiCarlo's.
DiCarlo's in Elm Grove.
Which is supposedly
the best DiCarlo's.
The best
of DiCarlo's. All the DiCarlo's around.
And what makes them better is that they're helping us out with pizza. I mean, they're not giving us pizzas, but they're giving us a heck of a discount. So when we sell it when we're there. So we're going to have pizza. And sodas, water, that kind of stuff. We're going to have it there for sale, but it's going to be pretty cheap so that everybody can afford it, and it's just going to be a good time for everybody.
And also the great thing about going to the prison doing this hunt, they're going to actually take us on a quick tour beforehand. Eric, if you've never been there before, they're going to walk us through different hotspots. Some of the hotspots we'll be hitting would be what they call the boiler room, which is where supposedly this guy was kind of a what do you call a snitch?
He was a snitch, and
he met a very bad end.
Well, he was decapitated.
He was decapitated, and he was cut into ribbons.
Well, and then there's the dude that was boiled in a pot of beans.
Right.
Yeah, there was the riot.
I also I was thinking about getting him on. He was the paramedic that pulled the guy out of the oven. When the one inmate was killed in the oven, he was the paramedic on call that night.
I didn't hear about roast goose.
Yeah, I didn't hear about that one either.
All righty. Here we go. Tonight we have Mr. Britt Griffith from TAPS. He's on the started season 4 of TAPS. He's also teaching the TAPS 101 classes, teaching the ghost hunting to all the folks at home. Mr. Britt Griffith, you with us tonight?
I am here. How are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just having sushi with Grant and Amy right now.
Oh, well, sorry to bug you during dinner.
It's all good.
Hey, real quick, you know, we got this big trip coming up, and you teach ghost hunting classes, right? You are the 101 teacher.
We call it TAPS boot camp. Chris Garland teaches the Paranormal 101.
Okay, yeah. So you're the boot camp teacher.
That's what I need. That's what I need.
Give us some tips, man. What do we need to do to look into this? What do we have to do?
Okay, what kind of a trip is it you're doing?
We're doing an all-night ghost hunt at the West Virginia State Penitentiary.
Oh, nice. Okay, have you done your history research on it?
Oh yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you know what you're getting into.
Yes. Yeah, we've been
bad
there before.
Things.
Okay, like what kind of bad things?
it's filled with it. 998 people lost their lives there. Either were executed by hanging or electrocution, or some guards were killed during a couple riots. People were hung or hanged. I'm sorry. So
murders.
Yeah. People were shoved in pots of stew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beans.
Okay, so what kind of reports are there?
There's the shadow people.
Shadow people?
Voices. Nick and I have actually caught voices there.
Orbs.
Wow.
People looking out windows. If you're outside, you can see faces and things in windows.
Okay, so you got visual and audible. Anybody been touched, pushed, grabbed?
One of the guys that works there that runs the prison has been grabbed and scratched.
Yeah, there was also other tours that have went through have been scratched in the back of their neck, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously you need to bring a lot of digital recorders. You guys gonna have a DVR set up?
Yes,
we have camcorders.
Yeah, we have camcorders.
Camcorders. Okay, yeah, bring all those you can. Obviously, you're gonna want to set up in the hotspots with all the equipment you have. Since it's such an audible type place, then I would drop digis everywhere if you get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a lot of EVP sessions, and since you have visual shadow people, those are always kind of tough to catch. But you know, I would just put video cameras everywhere, everyone you got.
Okay, how do we get them to communicate with us? Now, I've seen people yell and call spirits names and things like that, but I've also been advised that perhaps music calms the beast, and maybe I should bring some music from back in the day, like the 40s and 50s. What do you suggest?
There's really no set way to do it. Everybody kind of has been successful doing it all kinds of ways. Myself, personally, I don't believe in provoking. All right, not that I don't believe in it. I just don't do it because I don't know who I'm talking to. And I swear, if I get to the other side and found out I called my grandma a dirty you-know-what, it's just not cool.
No, I know.
You're in a prison. So mostly in prison are a rougher group of people. So you can probably be a little more aggressive on that. My partner, Sid, is on the Taps West Coast Home Team. He's been experimenting with asking the question, singing or humming, and then asking for the response, kind of like that. And he's had some pretty good success with that.
The question, sing-songy? Like,
yeah, kind of singing.
Okay.
Yeah. Just to get the harmonics up, just to get the energy going in the room, type of deal. It's kind of fun to watch, actually.
that would be fun.
And he's had some success with it, so there's something to that. I have two theories on EVP. It seems like women, in general, get better responses.
All right.
And what I'm trying to figure out here, and actually I just had this conversation with Amy Bruni this morning, to be honest with you. I was going down the road that it's a harmonic or it's an octave thing, that most women have a higher octave voice than men,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's the right frequency to cut through to the other side. But talking with Amy this morning, when we were going over that theory with her, she has another theory that, you know, women are, it's like this. If you're dying in a hospital bed, are you going to want a man to hold your hand and soothe you and tell you everything's going to be okay, or do you want a woman?
You want your mom.
You want your mom or your wife or a really hot nurse.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. But bottom line is women are, they're more nurturing, more caring. You don't feel as scared with them when they're with you. So maybe it's, you know, the other side, they're a little confused, scared, nervous, whatever. So it's just easier for them to speak to a woman. So there's two theories there. So I would definitely have women do a lot of questions for the EVP.
Okay.
Especially it being a prison with a bunch of men who probably haven't seen women in how long?
Way long, yeah.
You know, so maybe you can pull them out that way. But
now, how do you feel? Lola's got a good idea with, well, you're the professional. Is this a good idea, rather? Because she wants to go in and play the old-timey music to build the energy level.
Oh, absolutely.
Have you tried anything like that before?
I know Barry Fitzgerald's the one that told us about that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we did a concert hall once.
Yeah.
We do them all the time, actually, big theaters and whatnot. But the report was that it seemed like every time after they had either the thrash metal or the punk type bands in there, the activity was higher than normal for the next couple, 3 days.
Hmm.
The only thing I could think of is, you know, sound is energy, sound waves and whatnot, that maybe just like, kind of supercharged the area and the other side able to grab that and harness it and either show themselves or move stuff or whatever. So,
you know, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Now, what if we play like a Johnny Cash song, you know, and then like halfway through the course, just cut it off and keep the recorders going to see if any of them like sing the rest of the song. Well, you think anything like that would happen? Chances?
That would be interesting. And if you do that and you're successful, absolutely let me know.
Oh, I will.
there's no right or wrong way to do this. Where this field is so non-documented on how what works and what doesn't, that it would be nice if these organized groups like yourself or like any other group that's listening, you know, as you guys are experimenting with reaching out to the other side, you know, somewhere we gotta compile a list or a message board somewhere. You can say, okay, I did this, music halfway through, turned it off, and we got a verse and a half of, you know, of EVP.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I've never tried that, you know, and I'm going to put that in the back of my brain, and next time we're doing this, in that case I'm on, I'm going to try it.
Yeah, a database of what works and what doesn't work and where it's
absolutely
worked. Yeah.
So we can fine-tune this and really start honing in. And then, you know, if we're going down a road where something's working, then more groups can jump on it and really start fine-tuning it. You know, hopefully, maybe one day before we die, we'll find out our answer to the other side.
Hey, here's a question. I spoke to somebody earlier today about what did she call it, a ghost box. And it's something like the radio, a digital radio. They just have it scanning AM and AM and PM, AM and FM frequencies back and forth and getting voices. How do you feel about that?
That's the Frank's box thing you're talking about, right?
Okay.
I have no idea. I've seen it. I've been around it once it's used. There's so many other things out there to mess with, to experiment with, that I have not put any time into that to have an informed opinion on it. Me personally, I will not be using it anytime soon because there's so many other gadgets that I'm working with. But that shouldn't be that. But I would never tell you not to experiment with it.
Yeah, sure.
Not to get one and try it. But you know, unfortunately, with and I'm not saying the Frank's box is like this, but these engineers or these people who come up with these new cutting edge or pushing the edge of the envelope, which we need them, but they get so mentally, emotionally, and financially invested into their item, to whatever they're building, their widget, that when they realize that they're on the wrong road, instead of going, okay, I've just invested $10,000 in 2 years of my life into this and it's not working, and stopping and backing up, they try to force it through.
Yeah.
Because they're so attached to it. And we can't do that. I mean, you know, the Frank's box, does it work? Does it not work? I haven't seen any proof either way to make a judgment on it.
Yeah. Now, what's your equipment that you like to use? What is your preferred ghost hunting gear?
Well, obviously, you know, if I had to pick one piece of equipment to go into an investigation with, it would be a video camera because you can document audibly and visually. However, I have a lot of stuff. I'm a gadget freak. I love pushing the edge. I love the newest pieces of equipment. I get so many emails now and stuff sent to me to try. I mean, I've, for whatever reason, I've ended up on the show, and I'm grateful for it. But it's for me personally, it's opened up this world to all these engineers out there that are, you know, in their basement tinkering with stuff in the middle of the night instead of paying attention to their wives. Which, you know, I'm grateful for that because I think that's what's going to push our field to the next level.
Their wives, maybe, too.
You know, you might be right. Well, you know, I pay for a pool service, and I don't have a pool.
That might be a hint.
But no, I'm a gadget freak. I love gadgets. I'm working with I had the mail meter. You guys use the mail meter?
I'm trying to think of it. It's something I've heard of. It's like the K2 or.
No, it's an EMF meter that has the thermocoupler temperature probe built right into it, so you got the two readouts in one. Just Google Mel, it'll come up. I think it's MEL dash and some number, but if you just put Mel in it. But what I like about that piece of device, or that device, is that it's three tools in one. You got your EMF meter, and it works great. You got your thermocoupler style thermometer. I hate the surface temperature reader one. But you got that thermometer in there, so there's two pieces of equipment, and the LCD is backlit, and it's bright enough that you can use it as a flashlight.
Okay, I'm looking at it here.
You got three pieces of equipment in one. You got three pieces of equipment in one piece. Does that make sense?
Less to carry. Yep.
Yeah, and so it's less to exactly. It's less to carry. However, I just received a Tri-Field EMF meter, and it's not on the market yet, but you'll see it on the show here when it comes back on. It's a Tri-Field meter. meter. It's about $300 is what it's going to retail for, so it's not cheap. But what it does, and I love this meter actually, what it does is it notches out the 60 hertz field. Mm-hmm. And the 60 hertz field is what the American power system is on. So basically, all the power pole pollution that you get on your EMF meter, it notches out, so it doesn't affect your meter. A lot of your power, probably most of your household appliances are in that 60 hertz field. So when you have a fluctuation in the filtered meter readout, you know that it's outside of the man-made stuff, so you don't have to spend a lot of time debunking and looking for what could be causing it man-made-wise. You can look for natural reasons.
Right.
So it's cutting out some processing time, some debunking time by doing it for you right up front.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet machine.
Right, but the cool thing is it has both readouts on there. It has the unfiltered with all the man-made junk in it, and then it has the filtered with all the man-made junk out of it. So you have double readouts. So you can look at it, and if you see both of them rise and fall at the same time, you know that's in the man-made range. No, wait. See both of them. Mm-hmm. Get salted up now.
Yeah, if they both rise and fall, it'd be man-made. Yeah.
No, because the man-made filtered out on the filter
right,
point.
Man-made. Yeah, man-made.
So if they both rise and fall, that would be the natural level. So then you know, okay, something like a magnet. Are you near a speaker? So it just really cuts down what you have to look for to figure out what's causing it. And, and then also the backlight on that is really easy on the eyes. It doesn't wipe out your night vision.
Right.
And then it's a tri-field, so it's all active, so you don't have to spend the time spinning around and whatnot. But
nope.
So I'm loving that. And then I just have a... I just had another company contact me. They're sending me this company rocks, and I'm really excited about getting involved with them, but I can't say their name yet, so I make sure their stuff's not junk. But they're sending me a full-spectrum video camera and a deep IR video camera.
Yeah.
Now, and of course, I'm thinking, God, these guys are going to send me like a $10,000 unit? No, they're not going to do that. They all work for like Northrop Grumman. They're all engineers and like NASA and whatnot, and their whole goal, they're totally into the paranormal, been into it since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. they love the field, and their whole focus on this was to build advanced equipment that the normal paranormal group can afford.
Right.
So
that's a good market.
Yeah, because it's all very expensive.
So this full-spectrum camera that they're sending is only going to cost about $300, but it's
really?
A full-spectrum camera.
Wow.
You know? But so basically, you get the camera, and you're using it, and you dropkick it across the room. You know, you're not out $5,000.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a heart attack. So I'm really excited to get their cameras and put them to the test and see how they are. And if they're, you know, if they work like they're advertised or like they say they're going to work, then, you know, this is going to be a great source for all of us paranormal groups that don't have, you know, deep, deep, deep pockets like colleges do and whatnot.
Like us.
Yeah.
Like most people.
I'm in that same boat.
Yeah. Now, can you just kind of describe what exactly you do during your class? I'm actually looking on your side. You have one coming up at the end of this month at the Haunted Spalding Inn. The Haunted Spalding Inn, yeah. Where exactly is that? Is that in
New Hampshire?
New Hampshire, okay.
Yeah, I think it's Whitefield, New Hampshire. It's actually that's the inn that Jason and Grant bought and owned.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really that place is really effed up. we've had some. I mean, I've had some personal experiences there that are just like over the top. I can't wait to get back there. Actually, Jared, who's he's the general manager there. About 2 weeks ago, he came walking into work at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's the time he shows up, and there were four or five people asleep in the lobby, and he was like, "What the heck is this all about?" I got a jet going over.
Can we get air traffic control on the phone?
This is ridiculous.
I demand you stop flies.
Okay.
No flyer. Brit is a no-fly zone.
Yeah, exactly. He came walking in. There's four or five people sitting out the lobby. He's like, what's this all about? There was so much activity in their rooms, they couldn't sleep in their rooms, so they went out to the lobby to sleep.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
now, how sweet is it? Do you get to go in there anytime you want and investigate?
When I'm local, absolutely.
Oh.
But basically, the TAP boot camp is it took Sid and I a year and a half to really put together the curriculum.
Yeah.
And it's basically a 101 class. It starts from the beginning and works all the way to the end of just your basic paranormal, basic investigating. We do plan on doing a 102 and a 103 and a 104 down the road, but right now we want to get this off the road, off the ground. And literally, if you know nothing about investigating, by the time you leave our class, you'll have a decent foundation of what you need to do, what equipment you need to buy, how the most popular equipment, the basic proven equipment works. And it's a fun time. Sid and I are a bunch of goofballs. The other thing about the Spalding one is that actually Grant and Jason are going to ask, they're going to teach the EVP session, about an hour of it.
Really?
Yeah, which would be about an hour class. So you actually, if you come to the class only, you'll get to, they're actually going to teach it. And then on top of that, at the end of it, they do their two-hour lecture. Like, basically, they go over a bunch of cases that they've done, their better cases. They go over some evidence and whatnot. And then we go front to the Spalding Inn, which is very active. So.
Cool. Now, how much would the this whole your class? How much would that cost? The boot camp.
The whole class is $175 with Jason and Grant. But this is, if you want to take the boot camp, Grant just walked up.
I need Brit back. I need to do a review.
Yeah, actually, I do need to go do a review. But and then the classroom only part is $75, but that's including Jason and Grant's lecture and their meet and greet and whatnot. So.
Okay, how long does the class last?
That was Amy, by the way, saying hello.
Hello.
Hello. The class itself is about 5 hours.
That's so not bad at all.
Yeah.
That includes the classroom part and doing a little investigation in Spalding?
No.
It's just a class.
The class itself is a legitimate 5 hours.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Geez.
Yeah. So you get a lot for. Yeah. That's a long time.
Full day. Yep.
And actually, Sid and I just did our first drive-through run on it the other day, and holy crud, I was amazed at how tiring that was.
Well, yeah, that's
teaching would wear you out.
But it's all good.
Now, have you ever heard of the ovulus?
Ovulus.
Yes, the ovulus.
Now, how do you feel about that piece of machinery?
Okay. The first ovulus had issues with the chipset, and it would give off false hits.
Uh-huh.
But just take. So if you had the first one, you might want to think about getting the next one, I guess. But take that unit. Say the unit in your hand is working as it's designed, 100%. It floors me that people get excited about the words that come out of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever the words are, that are programmed in. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
When I look at that unit, what would make me excited is just the fact that it goes off. Not the words that come out. The words that come out of it, to me, are irrelevant. I don't think the spur world is looking at the chipset, figuring it out. If I manipulate the EMF filter this function, I can spit this word out. I just don't buy it.
Right.
I just think it's a fluke.
What about names that come out that aren't programmed into the thing?
It won't spit out on it.
Okay, I've heard lots of those stories, but I've never personally witnessed it, and I've never seen it on tape. So
yeah,
that is something that I would personally have to see before I would go, wow. And then I would have to look in the dictionary within the dictionary of the unit itself to make sure that name's not in there.
Well, even at that point, I mean, because we had just heard about this actually today. And somebody was telling us we should take a look at it. And they were talking about the dictionary mode and then the phonetics mode. And, you know, the first thing that popped in my head was, you know, you have matrixing of, you know, when you're looking at a picture, you always make out, you know, what people look like. At the same time, you have
a nice use of a TAPS term.
I did.
Matrixing.
And I bet you at the same time, though, you have an audio matrixing because you think you hear what you want to hear. I mean, you know, especially if you're using phonetics.
Well, the same thing goes with the radio, the tuning of the radio.
That's why I'm kind of, you know, skeptical. I'm a very big skeptic about, you know, using anything that would be. I would rather have totally clean silence. And if I hear something then I'm a lot more impressed, I think.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times you have way too much stuff.
What's
that? Yeah, you know.
For me personally, I personally would not own that piece of equipment.
Okay. That's enough for me to form an opinion.
Yeah. Now, for what that's worth. Seems like when we were, you seem to be somebody that likes to build your own kind of gadgets. What's some of your more? What do you enjoy in using right now?
Oh, I don't build anything.
Oh, I thought you did. I'm sorry.
No, I don't build them. I find people who know how to build stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
You're one of the smart guys. You let everybody else do the work.
Don't get me wrong. I love to do the work, but I just don't have that, you know, sitting on it and put circuitry together. That's just, I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what I meant.
I'm with you there.
You know.
Yeah, but I know what I want.
So let's say we got 30 people going on this hunt with us. We got tickets to go. What are the basics that we need to make sure to bring to be an effective ghost hunting team?
Well, you need to bring stuff that you can document with. I mean, the videotape, the digital audio recorders. The bottom line, if you don't get it on tape, how can you show you what you're finding?
Another Sorry. Jet? Yeah.
That Harley's going by.
Like Harley, yeah. Oh, jeez.
That was a Harley motorcycle. Yeah, it was Grant Parton.
That was loud. It blew our earphones out. It's all a good job.
What kind of sushi are you guys
eating? Oh, I had the dragon roll and the spicy tuna and some salmon.
Oof. Okay, now... I lost my train.
I'm sorry, the Harley killed me. I didn't.
I got an interesting question that I would personally like to hear. You've been on numerous ghost hunts. So I just have a question. What was the craziest experience you ever had that was non-human related?
The craziest what?
The craziest experience you ever had that wasn't, that was just paranormal activity.
Well, at the Stanley Hotel, before you know where Stephen King stayed, where he had his experiences.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
A lot of my firsts were there. I mean, disembodied footsteps, shadow people, some great EVPs. You know, just overall, that place is just way active, and you get a wide range of stuff going on there. Scary. I don't necessarily get scared. I mean, I've been startled every now and then. I watch a chair move 6 inches.
Uh-huh.
But no one touched it. That startled the hell out of me. I almost blew my pants. you know, but I don't know. I don't get scared from this stuff, which All is right. why I can go down in tunnels by myself and not worry about it.
Have you always been able to do this? Have you always been able to pick up on these things? Or is this something you've cultivated over the years?
What do you mean pick up, like sensitive psychic type stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about as sensitive as a brick.
Oh. Well, then how did you ever get into this?
I was on drugs when I was a kid. No, basically, my parents owned a house in Woodbridge, in Irvine, California, which is like a newer development. And the house was active, but it was way active. But, of course, it was when I was, 16, 17, 18. And my brother's like a year younger than me. My stepbrother's a year younger than that. So we couldn't tell nobody about it because our parents would think we were doing the green stuff.
Yeah.
So, but then it turns out, 5 years later, it came up at Christmas dinner. And it turns out everybody in that house, including my parents, we had all kinds of activity. They experienced it. We all experienced it. And actually, we look back at that house. It's been bought and sold like 20-something times since we've lived there. So.
Wow.
Is that because everybody there has been having the experiences too? Have you ever followed up on that?
Yeah, that's absolutely... a red flag or a green flag, depending on how you want to look at it. But that's like if we get a call from somebody that they're having activity in their house, the first thing we look at is how many times they've been bought and sold.
Yeah.
And that's a big telltale sign right there there's something going on there. Actually my dad talked to the people that they sold it to, like 2 years later, and they actually asked him, was there anything, funny going on in that upstairs closet? And of course my dad said, oh no, it was all good, but that just told us that they were experiencing stuff too.
Cool.
So that's how I got into it. That was my interest. Now then, obviously I turned 18, I knew everything and moved out of my parents' house. It was not smart, but
Here.
I should have just gone to school, but no, I had to move out. So then it became all about, women and partying and just being a teenager. So but then in 2003 a buddy of mine that I was hanging out with, he was in an organized group, and so I joined his organized group. And from there, I've been doing it ever since, 2003, organized life. So.
Now, has it been the same group? Has it been, I'm sure it wasn't always called Taps West Coast, but...
No. It was, I started off with, what the heck was the group's name? Ghost Investigation is what it was. So that group imploded. It was run by a guy out of Colorado. He had, branches of it. That group disintegrated, and then I ended up with somebody I joined that group with. He started a group called Pacific Paranormal Investigation, and they're still around today, actually. They're based out of San Diego. So I went there, and I was there for a long time, actually. And then we became Taft family. I met Jason, and that kind of took off. And then Jason asked if I would start a Taft for him.
Cool. Huh.
So basically. So what the Taps about a year and a half now, maybe.
Okay, and you run, you're the big cheese in Taps West Coast now, right?
I would, yeah, whatever title you want to give it. I run the Taps West Coast. Garland runs the Rhode Island Taps team. And then, of course, Jason and Grant are the bosses, so.
So they get it easy.
So they're the big cheese. He's just
they absolutely are the founder and co-founder. They are the ones in charge. Everything that Garland and I do with our teams gets run by them. So, and then obviously they're on we call it the travel team, which is the team you see on the show.
Sure. Yeah.
So, okay.
Now,
and then I'm lucky enough to be able to go out with the travel team every now and then. So.
Now you should have some guest radio hosts come in on the travel team.
Unfortunately, let us spend some time.
Yeah, when I go from the Taps West Coast team where I'm the top dog, and then I come to the travel team, I'm actually the bottom rung person.
How does that feel?
I'm the guy picking up the trash, and stuff up, and
getting coffee.
Yell at you. Brett, give me coffee.
Now, do you feel that you're learning something though? Like when you go on the travel team, do you feel that they're at the point where they're teaching you something every time, or are you throwing in your side as well?
You know what? I've been doing this since 2003. And, you know, but everybody on the travel team has been doing this a long time. Well, with the exception of Chris Williams. She's the rookie of the group. But, you know, I mean, Jason's been doing this 20-something years now. 20-something years they've been doing this. It's kind of crazy to think about it. But, yeah, I learn stuff all the time. And a lot of times you know, I hear something new. I love doing these podcasts and radio shows. I love doing this because I get to talk to people and come up with new ideas and see what other people are doing. So then I take it back to the home team or the travel team, and we really start hashing it out. And so, yeah, I'm learning new stuff all the time. You know, this is as much a learning experience for me as it is the people who listen to me talk.
Well, if you get anything with the music thing, you need to call us back and let us know.
We'll let you know if it works for us, because I'm definitely going to try that.
And the next time you talk to Chris Williams, see if she'll marry me.
Come on, talk to her big ass boyfriend. She
has. I'm a big old fella. You know?
I think Jason will take you out too. He's pretty protective of her.
There you go.
Like his little sister.
Well then,
now I've got a question.
Yeah.
Something like down at the penitentiary. Would it be better to use music that was current during the time where a lot of riots broke out and things like that, or would you use something like punk rock music to play? Because you said that kind of amped the energy at some venues and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's just a theory we're running with. But I would go both ways. I would try the period music.
Mm-hmm.
If you get any response, and then you know if that's not working, man, I would blast some hardcore speed metal or something.
Slipknot and Metallica. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I'm thinking though, some Pantera, Motorhead.
Yeah.
There you go. Motorhead. See, what I'm thinking, though, is you have two totally different types of audiences for those kind of shows. If you get, like, a classical symphony, we have a Capitol Music Hall right down the road here, and they have the symphony come in. You know, and those, you know, I've been to a bunch of them. They sit in their seat. They listen. They're kind of I don't want to say pretentious, but they don't do much.
Classy.
They listen. Classy, yeah. They listen. They clap. They're very kind of, you know, polite, and then they leave. Whereas if you get techno in there or metal, you know, they're bashing each other, you know, and they're kind of the mosh pits, but there's a lot more
that
energy.
Mosh pitting.
And but that energy coming from the people, I think I'm wondering if that's more of what drives the spirit.
I don't know.
It
could be either or. It could be both.
Yeah.
It could be a combination of it all.
Yeah.
The fact is, we don't know.
Exactly.
And we need to start ferreting that out and experimenting with it.
Well, that's definitely what I'm going to try and do on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I like your idea with the database. I mean, because I think a lot of times you get into more of like, I don't want to say competition, but, you know, a lot of the groups are very protective of what they do.
I still hate that with a passion. This field's going to go nowhere if we don't work together.
That's right. That's right.
They throw everybody under the bus and they look at what they're doing. Yeah. They're not doing it right. We're doing it right.
See, we get a little heads up because we have the radio, like the show here. You know, people can call and say, hey, yeah, we got this and we've been trying out, and this is the kind of EVPs that we got with this device. You know, this is what we did to it. This is, you know, and we like that because we hear it. But like earlier today, we were on the phone with a lady who's like, oh, well, you've never heard of the Ovilus or the, you know, the Ghost Box stuff. You know, it's like, why is most of the stuff being hidden? Why is the things that are not working still being used?
I have a lot of theories about it, but probably best I just keep those to myself. But I'll just tell you what we try to do on the Taps team. I know that there's all these people that hate us because we have a TV show, and You know, we've kind of hit this mark. And, you know, bottom line is, we, being myself, Garland, Jason, none of us have ever said we are the absolute best team out there and everybody needs to do exactly what we do. We have never said that because we are not the best team out there. There are some teams out there that are doing some amazing things with amazing equipment and coming up with some really great stuff. And you know, we're looking to them to learn. I mean, we just happen to have this, you know, we're on TV, and I happen to hear about a lot of stuff. I get to actually touch a lot of equipment that maybe you would never would,
right.
or some regular group in, you know, in the north corner of America. But we just want, we all have to work together. Here's the deal. This is how we do it. We investigate at night in the dark. We do it from a debunking standpoint. We're more about getting it on tape so we can prove it.
Yeah.
That's how we do it, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
You know, there's other groups like Lloyd Arbuck out in California. You ever heard of Lloyd Arbuck?
No, I haven't.
You have not? He's written a couple books. He's a parapsychologist. He's a really, really knowledgeable man in the field. He's been doing this forever and a day. But he's like, we don't need to do this in the dark. And he's 100% right. We don't have to do this in the dark. Ghost activity happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do we choose to do it in the dark? He chooses not to do it in the dark. And that's fine. And then you have the groups that have, they really skew hard to the psychic sensitive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Contrary to popular belief, we do not hate psychics or sensitive. We just don't use them in our reports, and we're not very upfront with them. We just don't. Because all it is a personal experience if we can't document it. We're all about documentation. But it doesn't mean that we're saying that all other groups that use psychics or sensitives are wrong. Because they're not.
Right.
So here's the way it works out. We, the people who do it like TAP, we're covering the night. We've got the night covered. We got all, you know, doing all the equipment in the dark and whatnot. We got that covered. Lloyd, the cell that is like Lloyd Arbuck, which is during the day, they have that corner covered.
Now, what's the advantage of going in the dark or the day? Why choose one or the other? What do you get out of it?
I'll get to that in a second. I'll follow this all up. And then there's the groups that use the psychic sensitive. This is kind of important. There's groups that use psychic sensitive, or they're like 100% psychic sensitive. You know what? And that's fine. That is absolutely fine. Okay, they got that covered. So if we all work together, the only thing that is absolutely 100% important is that we are all honest with our evidence. The evidence has to be real.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think there are people out there that they get that look at me syndrome, and they have something that happens, and they could probably explain it away if debunk it if they took some time to it, but they want to put it out there so that people look at their group.
Yeah.
Right.
Type of thing. So we just. The only important part is that we're all honest with our evidence. And that's what we strive for with the TAPS family groups, that, you know, you can do it for the most part the way you want. You just have to be honest. You have to be honest with their evidence. Now, when it comes to doing it at night or rather than the day, for my group, the West Coast TAPS team, and then even for the Pacific Paranormal and whatnot,
uh-huh.
Bottom line is we all have day jobs.
Nice.
That's very true.
Yeah.
You know, and really the only time we have to do it is overnight. Now, couple that with... Oh, man, I'm going to shoot down one of these jets.
Don't say that on the radio.
Oh, did I just say that over the radio?
There'll be some people coming to pick you up in a little bit.
Yeah, and in black are they come. The other part is, you know, like right now I'm sitting on the city sidewalk, and there's all this traffic going by, people walking by, cars going by, the Harleys, which you guys would probably hear.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're trying to investigate, you know, a business or a house or whatever with all this activity going on, that ambient noise that is generated bleeds into the house, bleeds right. into your EVP, bleeds onto, you know,
yeah.
the cars going by reflecting the sun will show up in your DVR cameras and whatnot. So for us, it's like, you know, you get past like 11, 12 o'clock, the streets really settle down, the ambient noise outside is really diminished and gone. So you have a much cleaner slate to work with when it comes to doing your EVPs and reviewing your evidence and whatnot. So we also like that a lot, too.
That's awesome. Hey, Britt, that's all the time we got for today. And I want to thank you very much for sharing what you know with us. And a website to get to your boot camp if people want to join up.
All you got to go to, and I hate this website name, but it's the, you know, www.the-atlantic-society-the-way-I-even-said-it-wrong. the-atlantic-paranormal-society.com, and then look in the calendar and just click on the link there and it'll take you right to all the information.
No, I had a para101.com too. That goes right to the information as well. So para101.com
works. And then there's a few other ones out there. I bought a bunch of domain names.
Sure. Right. It's great. Thank you very much. And you'll definitely be hearing from us if we get anything with
anything
this music
works.
This weekend.
I'll do it. Anytime. Give me a call.
All right. Thanks a lot, Britt.
Thanks, Britt.
Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Bye. Right. That was Britt Griffith, everybody, from TAPS and the TAPS West Coast Group. It is 7 o'clock. We're going to take a break for the news. And then we'll be back on AM 1600, WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN.
Pulling out that first dawn's light. Gotta free my mind, get you out of sight. All across this open sea, sparkle blue beauty like a young man's dream.
Happens to the best of us. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Whispers on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog, and UPRN, the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Thank God the video cam's not working.
As soon as we came back, I started coughing. I had to mute the mic real quick.
You know what, though? You're sounding so much worse now than you did even an hour ago.
Really?
Yes. Wow. You're sounding really
good. Look at you, man.
That's because
swine flu.
I am not swine fluing.
Oh, I wish I had that queued up. I've got squealing piglets.
No, I know.
I don't know if you heard Scott, but he said you pretty much look like you sound too.
Yeah.
Yeah, terrible.
Your face is killing me all day.
You look how I feel. Give us a call, 304-214-1600. If you're out of the area, first time listener, 866-514-1600. That's toll free. Give us a call. Tell us where you're from, what you're doing, what you think, all the goodies. The second hour.
What you're wearing.
Yeah.
Word.
Yeah. Get some Bill DeFabio. We got an email from a lady. I'll read it real quick. Dear lads, I am a 40-something housewife. It starts off kind of bad.
Wow.
It sounds dirty. A 40-something housewife with the love of all things paranormal. Being a wee bit psychic myself, I'm always on the lookout for anything new. Just by chance, while browsing through podcasts for anything spooky or weird, I found your great shows. I live in rural Ireland, which is steeped in myths and legends of all sorts of ghostly goings-on. I love your shows and enjoy hearing from all your guests. It was a shame that your guests are not too sure about the Banshee, our national treasure. Many examples of her, even in this modern time of weeping and wailing in times of imminent death. A priest was murdered here a few years ago, and a friend of mine who plays in a band was coming home in the wee small hours when he... I love that. I love Irish people.
You can just picture it, too, in the wee small hours.
In the wee small hours. When he not only heard the banshee cry, he also saw her kneeling on the side of the road on the edge of a small town, took place on that very night itself. She was rocking back and forth, crying bitterly, tearing her hair and kneeing. kneeing so bitterly, it made her hair stand on end. It could have been an ordinary woman, I hear you say, but as she slowed down, as he slowed down the car, listen to me talk. Jeez, I'm sick. I got the swine flu.
This is West Virginia, man. Give me my break.
I just got over rabies a month ago.
Always an excuse.
It happens. He slowed down the car. She raised her head slightly, looked straight at him, stood up, and disappeared gradually in front of his eyes. No drink had passed his lips.
That's an important fact.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Especially
and others
Ireland.
Heard that night in the village that it was not until the following morning that the crime was discovered. Explain that. Look forward to listening to your other shows. Regards, Mojo.
I'll explain that. Banshees freak me out, dude. No joke. You know when you're in high school and you're going through and you just think of like goofy stuff to do, like everybody starts a book sometime or something stupid like that.
Yeah.
I thought it would be awesome to write a book or write a movie about a banshee because banshees are freaky.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool that you mentioned that.
Wow.
All right.
No, sorry.
Well, yeah.
Useless information.
If you hear me coughing, that's because I forgot to mute my mic. It happens.
Yes, it does. More times than anybody.
Poo-poo can. Happens. Deal with it.
Well, we do have our guest.
How we
Oh, my goodness. Nick,
okay, I'm taking over at this point. Our second guest is Chris Thomas. He's with West Virginia Ghost Quest. Are you with us, Chris?
Yeah, I'm here.
And we've lost Jordan. I think we've cut his mic off, haven't we? He's been sent to the bench.
Yes, this is the naughty chair. Naughty chair.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about West Virginia Ghost Quest.
West Virginia Ghost Quest started out about a year ago. Started going to places investigating. Me and my uncle, Carl Felder, a few people, Sue Stock, let's see, Becky Ponner. Chris Lee decided to make a little small group up, and we got some good evidence, a good few pictures and video also.
Okay. And where did you get this from? Where were you investigating?
We've been around, like, Silver Run, Tunnel 19. We've been to the Mid-Ohio Valley Players Theater. We're getting ready to do Lunar Hasset Island tomorrow.
Oh, very nice.
Where at?
Lunar Hasset Island.
Okay.
Down by Parkersburg, yeah.
Correct. It's an overnight stay, and it's going to be pretty cool, actually.
What kind of stuff is said to be seen there?
The stories I've heard from the internet and people talking is that Margaret Blenner Hassett will be seen on the island walking around with a baby in her arms and a little boy, you know, carrying the little boy around, walking with them.
Mm-hmm.
And another story is that two guys were camping out one night in a tent, and something started tapping on the tent. So they look out the tent, and here it is, the Margaret Blenner Hassett with the two kids in her arms.
Wow. Wow.
You wake it, actually.
Walk around with a bunch of kids in your arms. That's kind of creepy.
It is weird.
If you saw
it
at normal.
Yeah. Anytime there's a kid and it's a ghost, it's creepy. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, children are pretty creepy.
Oh, that's nice.
They
you
are.
Jeez. All the moms out there are loving you right now.
Talking about ghost kids.
For all your moms out there, your kids are creepy.
They are. They're not cute. They're ugly.
That was it.
This is just wrong.
They all look like Winston Churchill. What are you? All the babies.
The cat?
This is just going down.
Just ignore these. You know,
now,
I can turn off
get back on track here.
Chris, how long have you been in the business?
We've been knowing probably about at least 8 years, I'd say.
Now set me up. How do you? What is an investigation for you guys? How do you set up your stuff? What do you do? What's your goal by the end of the night?
Well, first to start out, I call around places to looking for, you know, places we can actually get into. Then I call the crew, tell them what time and day to be there, and we go get everything together, all their equipment, voice recorders, night vision cameras, everything. We make sure the place is still, you know, want us to go there. So we go down to the place we're supposed to investigate, set up the equipment and everything. And we're there for, you know, sometimes every night, a few hours, 4 to 5 hours at least. And then we try to get the best, you know, we can possible evidence.
Now what are you trying to prove by the end of the night? Is it that ghosts are real? Are you trying to disprove claims? Are you trying to just gather evidence? What's your goal?
I'll let Carl Sutter.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I like Carl Fuller, the founder of West Virginia Ghost Quest.
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Okay. Sure. We have a fellow quester or whatever, you know, another group member, Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. You're on with everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
What's up?
I just wanted to call in and relieve Chris a little. I think, yeah, he's got some pressure going on. A little nervous.
Well, we try to be laid back.
Oh, no, he's having a good time.
We're intimidating.
The five booming voices from Wheeling.
Ask again or answer the question, Chris.
I think he's just scared to death, so I figured I'd just, you know, call.
Well, thank you.
Oh, poor fella.
No, I think he was putting on Carl, wasn't he?
No, I'm a little bit nervous.
No, don't be nervous.
That's all right.
No,
we're,
you, my goodness, you faced ghosts. It's just us.
You are nowhere near as nervous as I am.
Yeah, you'd think you'd be nervous around all those ghosts, not the people on the phone, right?
I can't even read good.
Jordan's almost fell out of his...
That would be well.
Well, Rebecca, have you been on investigations with them, too?
I started out a little bit with Carl. I actually just have started out with the group that includes Chris Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, we kind of just did it for fun, you know, and started getting some things, with kind of got us a little more interested in it. And then I just kind of do it on my own, and then Carl asked me a while back here if I'd join in, and I'm all for it, so...
Well, you know, that's my fear, is that, because we're going to the penitentiary on Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm so afraid that I'm not going to hear anything, I'm not going to see anything, and I'm probably the one out of the entire group that so wants to do this.
Are you trying too hard?
I don't know. That could be. But I've got some tricks up my sleeve now that I'm going to try and use on Friday and see if something will work. But
Britt from Taps came on trying to give her some tips.
Yeah.
I've come to find that sometimes you can take someone with you and they actually see nothing while you're seeing everything. I don't know if it's just part of being a sensitive. But
now, are you a sensitive?
Yes. I started out as a child seeing things. And as I became an adult, I would try different things to stop seeing. Like, I do meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I actually went to a therapist, and I was told that I was schizophrenic.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Well, it got to the point where I didn't feel schizophrenic. You know, I felt pretty normal. I just would see and hear. And it got to the point where I started to want to try to embrace it because I couldn't stop it. You know, and so many people want to laugh about it and everything and not really have an open mind. But I've got pictures of me pointing at them. And then being there, you know, and I think it was more to prove it to myself.
Yeah,
I wasn't insane.
I think the medical community really has to understand that people can do this, that there is a connection. And instead of immediately jumping to the conclusion that, well, there's something mentally wrong,
mm-hmm,
or,
right,
you know, a chemical imbalance or whatever they're calling it these days. You know, I firmly believe that, you know, if you're seeing things, then you are really seeing things.
Well, schizophrenia is such a blanket term anymore.
Oh,
if they don't know what's going on, it's like, oh, my God, they're schizophrenic.
Yes,
like,
and they want to
medicate.
They want to medicate the children.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm seeing something. Okay, you need to be in therapy, and you need to, you know. And I think a lot of these medications do work because they close their minds off.
Yeah.
You know, so, of course, it's going to work. But, you know, it's just like a Band-Aid. You know, it's not taking away their gift. It's just masking their ability to think straight.
Yeah, and right away they want to start. Then something must have happened in their childhood.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it starts this
Why do you
whole
hate
big
your mother?
Ball rolling.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. And my mother is also, she does the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And my sister. And we actually have been getting calls when I've been doing it on my own. And my mother and I will go in and anoint. We'll do an investigation, and then we'll anoint.
Uh-huh.
But we actually got a call out of Parkersburg last year of a woman who believed that she had something supernatural, or, like, you know, she was really scared. When we got to her house, she had an upstairs room chained off. You know, you couldn't even get in there.
Uh-huh.
And said something was pulling blankets under the door. You know, was just terrified. They had bite marks on her legs.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it was, you know, it's terrifying, and people don't understand it. And we went in, and we anointed everything, you know, did what we go by the Bible. I'm a Christian.
Uh-huh, so are we.
And we went just like we learned, you know, my mother taught me my whole life, and it's me, my sister, my mother will go in and anoint.
Now,
they have had no problem since. And people need to know that they need to be careful when they're doing that they do it correctly.
Oh, if not, it's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Well, Chris, do you do that too when you go into a place?
What's that?
Do you anoint and kind of cleanse a place when you go in and investigate and find something there?
Or bring somebody in?
I'll let the Carl Fodor speak about that one.
Sure.
I'll be more into that by the time.
Okay.
Carl?
Yeah. usually when we get into an investigation, we just try to get what evidence we can, see if there's anything in there. And then if somebody wants something like that, I'll try to find somebody that does that kind of thing. Because I've heard that sometimes if you try to remove something from someone's home, it could get a...
Okay, we lost...
We spotted out there. If you get somebody what? Say that again.
If somebody wants that kind of thing done, we try to find somebody to do that.
Yeah. Sure. Right. Now, you said if you do it yourself, what could happen?
I've heard that if you try to remove something from a home, that it could become more aggressive than it was in the first place.
Well, yeah, in the Bible it says it'll come back with its bodies.
Seven more.
Yeah.
Seven more, yeah.
Seven worse, absolutely.
Now, how many members are there of West Virginia Ghost Quest?
Well, right now there's probably about 5 official members, but we take, you know, some extra people around in case we need assistance.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, we only got a handful of members we like to.
We like or we elect?
Well, I know I was honored to be invited because I'd done a little bit of, you know, work with Carl before, and mostly we were just going out the back roads, checking out the graveyards, you know, trying to see what we could find. But now that it's gotten this far, it's really exciting, you know, to take it a step further and be able to do real good investigations with the good equipment, you know, and extra people, the sensitives and, you know, and people that can read the EVPs and things like that, getting a good group together.
That's another reason I brought Becky aboard, because I've heard her mother has done that in the past, and it's been pretty successful.
So thank you, Carl. All
right, guys, real quick, we want to get into some EVP. Yep. And you sent us a CD, and I tried my best to throw some sign language over to the booth, to Lola.
Yeah, you should have just had CD, guys. you should. It looks like first and third base coaches in here. And nobody knows what anybody is trying to
Jordan
say.
Jordan even grabbed himself a couple of times. I saw it.
slide home.
Keep in mind when you're listening to the EVPs, a lot of things will come out in a whisper.
Okay. Right. Set this up for us. Carl?
Let's go ahead. We'll play the first one. I'm not exactly sure which order they're in.
Yeah, go ahead and play it. Then you'll tell us what it is. We'll play it again.
Okay. Here we go.
All right, that was loud.
Wow.
What were we listening to there, Carl? Or Chris? Or Rebecca?
Yeah. Who is on with us right now?
Beck. And,
yeah.
Carl
or Chris?
Yeah. Carl and Chris. They're all here.
Okay. We're all 3 here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I play it again?
Tell us what we're listening to, where you were, what's going on here.
This is at a house in Marietta.
Uh-huh.
Gethel's house. Didn't hear it at the time of being there. And got home. I went over to the audio through a wave pad, the voice editing software.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And what it sounds like to me, it's saying in the beginning, something is saying hello.
All right. I'm going to play it again.
On the air, it kind of sounds like a turkey.
You got to turn your internet down, or however you're listening to us, because you're getting that back.
I did. It was my son.
Okay.
Somebody beat that kid. No. All right, next EVP. Alright, what are we listening to there?
Okay, that's one of our old investigators, Damon Rice. He's out in Marietta. And he's talking about when he's been investigating that there's a shadow that actually came out of the wall after him. And he's seen. And he's talking about that, and all of a sudden you hear something. It sounds to me, I mean.
Yeah.
Like it says, get out, almost.
I'm going to do it again.
Isn't
that right there?
I know what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy. All right, next one.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, I like that one.
I don't.
Yeah, I can't really hear much of that one at all. What's going on there?
Oh, that one there is cooking last year at the Irish Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
There in West Virginia. And it's telling a guy saying they're darn nasty.
Okay, so there's no all voice that you hear is not you guys.
No, none of these voices on here is us at all.
Okay, play this again. Explains. Play this again. Oh, so that's not that's not one of you guys.
Right, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
No, no.
Well, geez Louise,
that was
that's
so
a good
one. Clear. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was you guys talking, and then that little blip that we hear after that, I thought that's what you had picked up.
Yeah, I did too. Wow.
Now, all that got picked up at the cemetery.
And that was at the, wow. Next one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Should be one more.
All right, fill us in. Anybody?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm just listening.
What was going on there?
Go ahead and play that one again.
Yeah, I didn't hear it. I couldn't hear it at all.
Yeah, same here.
I think I heard a little bit of like a
was
mumble or something.
It was whispers. I mean, it wasn't us.
I've got an interesting one I got last Saturday.
It's. I played it. I couldn't hear anything on it.
Okay.
So. You want me to play mine or?
Yeah, if you have it there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, 1 second.
What are we listening to?
Hold on. I'm in the wrong spot.
Oh, okay.
It sounded like you were changing channels.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. I know exactly how many seconds it's in, so.
Okay. So we're getting to it.
Now these all of these recordings, Carl, or Chris, I'm not sure which one I'm talking to, you're using just a regular digital recorder, correct?
Yeah, the regular recorder.
Okay, what kind of brands do you use?
It's RCA.
RCA, okay.
Also use tape recorders, also those Olympus.
Okay, with the little, like the little micro cassettes?
Yeah, and also have external microphones on too. Is that way you
don't get no. Yeah, way you don't hear the tapes grinding.
Yeah.
Sure.
Also, yep. I use that not too many people use is Sonic Ear.
Sonic Ear.
Plug a Sonic Ear to your voice recorder.
Uh-huh.
Pick up a lot more EPs than you ever expected to pick up before.
Like the As Seen on TV Sonic Ear?
Yeah.
Yes, same thing. Plug into your mic.
Uh-huh.
Turn on full blast and, push recording your thing. Now I was picking up people from inside the house or down the stairs in the house.
Huh.
Wow.
I hadn't even thought about that. That makes a lot of sense.
Wow, if your grandma's got one, you best be careful what you're saying.
Boy, yes. Okay, are you ready?
We're ready.
Okay,
here we go. It sounds like get out of the house or go to the outhouse. I know it sounds funny, but okay, here we go. Hear it?
Well, that sounded like an evil gremlin.
Yes, it did. It's almost like get out of the house.
Can you play that one more time?
Sure. Don't feed it after midnight.
You all right? You all right, Lo?
Yeah.
Give me just 1 second to back it up.
Okay.
The way of a gremlin when he's looking for the outhouse.
Yeah. Oh. I just got this new thing to listen to these on, so it's like, Okay.
Ow.
Yeah, wow. That sounds like a gremlin.
It sounds like a wicked little gremlin.
Yeah.
And where was that taken at?
That that was taken out a country road in Newport, Ohio.
Really?
What made you? What
was it? Were you hanging it out the window?
No, actually, we were out camping, and I had some people with me that had never gone.
Yeah.
So of course they're like, "Oh, I want to go," you know. So I took them with me, and we were headed from this guy I know that lives over there. From his house, we were walking down the road because he had this old building that he wanted us to check out. Well, we didn't even make it halfway down that road before I started having feelings.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a drowning sensation, like heavy in the feet, feeling like you've got pain in your lung, your ribs and your lungs. And it was like we didn't want to step any further. And I said, okay, we're going to turn these. I've got a little recorder. It's got a microphone. You pretty much have to be talking right into it to get it to pick up anything. And I was walking around with that. And I had a girl with me, which decided she wanted to try to talk to it, which I don't do. She tried to bring it out and everything. Well, that's what we wound up getting. But to me, it felt like a drowning sensation, like there'd been someone that had drowned there, and there is a stream that runs right through there.
Wow.
But we got, like, go back to the house, or I can't really quite make out what he's saying. And then there was another section that sounded almost like an English accent.
That's interesting.
But you don't have to be in a house or somewhere.
Yeah, it can be anywhere. I know Scott and I, when we first got started, Scott and I would go off in the middle of the woods trying to find stuff.
Yeah. In that field.
We snuck into a big field with cameras. On the highway, on the interstate.
Yeah, you have to keep in mind that the ground has been there this whole time. There's history everywhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say that there's not anything, you know, here or not there, but there's stuff pretty much everywhere.
All right. Now, how can our listeners get up with your group? Where's your website?
Well, we got a MySpace.
Okay. What is it?
At West Virginia Ghost Quest.
Cool. MySpace.
URL.
Yep.
And then we started one on Tripod.
Okay.
That I believe is put under my email at mpdaydream@tripod.
Yeah,
or tripod.com.
Okay.
mpdaydream.
We'll link that up to the website. Thank you very much for the EVPs. Next time you get some, give us a call. We'll play them.
Great.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a good night.
Thanks.
Thanks, you guys.
We'll be right back after these brief commercial messages from our sponsors.
Free.
Pulling out at first dawn's light. Gotta free my mind, get you out of sight. All across this open.
Welcome back to Whispers, everybody, on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog at UPRN. It is 7:38 p.m. Scott and Eric, we're doing a little rap improv.
Straight up.
Yeah, we're really white.
Give us a call, 304-214-1600, out of the area, toll free. I'm pressing that toll free line. I want to hear from some of our new listeners, 1-866-514-1600. Tell us where you're from, what you're doing. Tell us a ghost story. We love ghost stories. We got the pen coming up. I'm excited.
So what exactly should we... What do you think we should ask when we get to the pen?
Where's the bathroom?
We should ask. We should ask if there's anybody there that likes beans. Like, I got cooked into beans.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we knew you were going with that.
Come on, man.
Well, if anybody has
anybody
any
looked
questions
at me like I was stupid.
Anybody out there got any pen stories? There's a lot of people out there used to work there, there. I want to hear some pen stories. You got them, give us a call.
Or if you have a question you want us to ask at the pen, well, you have your notebook there, Jordan?
Sure do.
Write it down. We'll put your name next to it. We'll ask.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll see if we get any response, and that way we'll...
Relatives?
Yeah, I mean,
people, right. Get some
wherever you are, you know, you might want to
Uncle Jimmy, Aunt Rhonda.
I want to go talk to the old guy at the beginning of the
Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, I want to go talk to that old guy.
Red fell down.
No, the guy that was at the cross the street that fell down after he entered the door, just fell completely backwards. Yeah, I want to talk to him. That was the best part of that whole show.
I know.
I recorded it and I rewound it like 13 times.
So you like people's misery.
Oh, it was funny though, man. I'm sorry. I hope I never get that old.
I don't think you really have to worry about it.
You want to keep talking about it.
Yeah, somebody's going to be
his family's going to come get me.
Yes.
Now, what exactly, you know, we've not talked to you, especially Scott. What exactly was your favorite investigation you've been on so far?
Without saying the name of the place.
Well, yeah, without saying the name of the place and getting sued.
I guess my favorite would have to be when we were in a place in Wheeling that was kind of in a main strip there. And that was pretty cool because not only did our things start going haywire, like our walkie-talkies and stuff like that, but there was audible sounds that could be heard. And
I remember the walkie-talkie going crazy.
Yeah.
We had no idea where it was coming from. We were hoping it was from the road.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Those, when I listen to those, they creep me out.
Yeah, that's a creepy. That's one of the creepiest ones. I just missed that investigation by like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was a little bummed.
I'd have to say either that one or the one that we did farther up in West Virginia. I can't really say where, but we got the most EVPs and the scariest EVPs out of that place, and especially in this one bathroom and the you stuff mean, that came out of there.
Farther up as in up the hill?
As like in up the hill.
Altitude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, then
it's farther up north, too.
Yeah, it is.
And that's two different types of investigations.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
At least two different types of evidence. You have one where it's, you know, if you remember the one with the bathroom and everything, we left there, we really didn't think we had anything.
Yeah.
I think we heard maybe one thing upstairs, but, you know, it's pretty much, you know, whatever. We actually, you know, when we're starting to listen to the evidence, I mean, until we got to that, you know, recording, it was just, like, so boring. I think it was, like, 5 hours into listening to the evidence, and all of a sudden, we have one full hour full of just stuff that, you know, just made the goose pimples come up on your, you know, on your arms, and you're rewinding back, and like, holy, you know. I mean, it was pretty intense. Whereas the other one, while we were there, we were experiencing it. And it wore us out, number one.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, when you get in there, they'll have to take, you know, whatever energy is there, and you'll physically, I mean, I remember we were all just exhausted when it was all over. It was pretty
I got to tell you, the one that we did where we were talking about the bathroom, how we got most of the evidence later, we actually, up until that point, we only had one thing that we heard, and that was the recording that said, "I'm watching," or at least that's what it sounded like.
Yeah. It was pretty clear. It was like, "I'm watching," or "I'm here." Remember that one?
That's what it was.
Yeah, that was "I'm here," and then we also have another one that said, "I'm watching." And we all went on a break, and I had to go back in because Jordan asked me where his camcorder was. And I was like, "Anybody want to go with me?" And they're like, "No, no." I was like, "Oh, great.
You're good. Go ahead, Scott."
Okay.
So I'm in this humongous building all by myself in the complete pitch darkness looking for this camera where I have no idea which room it is. And I got to say, I'm watching repeating over and over in my head as I'm looking for this thing. So that was kind of intimidating. I mean, I don't really get scared on these investigations, but I gotta say, that was...
Yeah, when you're by yourself.
Discouraging. Yeah. That was...
Discouraging.
Interesting.
A little human to be a little nervous about things like that when you're by yourself.
Yeah.
So now, Lola, what exactly are you... I mean...
I wanna see something. I wanna hear something. I so want. And like Barry told me, be careful of what you want. Be careful of what you wish for, because, you know,
I might get
more than I bargained for, but... Because I so truly believe, and yet I have never really had an experience.
I know where we got our best response. We had two different places when we were in the first time we went that we had. Because the second time, we really didn't get anything, did we?
No.
But it was very loud.
Way too many people.
Yeah, and one of the rules we're going to have this time, you know, and especially if you're listening to this right before you're coming.
If you got a big mouth, zip it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's you try to talk in whispers. At the same time, you got to be careful not to talk too low to where, you know, if I'm here and, you know, way down the block, somebody else is there and they're picking up me whispering. So you got to be kind of sure of where everybody is. But at the same time, you've got to be very mindful of yourself not doing, you know, stomach grumbling. I think we were talking about that in the break.
Yeah.
Somebody ate Chinese before one of our investigations. And And it sounded evil.
Anybody want to take a guess at who that was?
It definitely wanted to come out.
But I mean, but you know, it's got to be careful. The two places we had the first time we went were North Hall.
Mm-hmm.
North Hall, where the riot took place. They have it chain linked in, to where nobody can climb out anymore because they were kind of, from what I was understood, climbing the walls to try to get out of the prison. That way, they can also keep the guards away from the prisoners. I mean, for their protection. And we got one of those at the North Hall? The last four, it was like the baddest of the bad were. Red Snyder was one of them. The guy that killed Red Snyder next to him.
That's where we got Nick and I's first EVP was in the cell of the guy who killed Red Snyder.
Yeah. Jordan had an experience in Red Snyder's cell. Remember,
can I tell it?
Yes, you go ahead and tell it, because this is great.
Okay, here I am, and this is Nick and I's first go at it, so I'm tough stuff, you know? And we're
the cock of the walk, baby.
that's me, Jordan Klein, you know? I'm sitting in the cell. I got I'm on his bed. I got the tape recorder going, and I'm sitting there, and we're getting nothing.
Well, you put it. Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm sitting there again. I'm like, come on, tough guy. Baddest of the bad. Come on, tough guy. You know, and I start to tough talk the dead guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going through, and these recorders are pretty, they're not the cheap kind. They're not like a couple $100 recorders, but I mean, they're not the cheap Walmart brand.
Yeah.
They don't just shut off. Well, here we go. We're like, all right, let's listen to it, because I'm freaked out enough. My EVP meter's like, your EMF meter's going off. And I'm like, all right, Nick, come and save me. So we go back and we go to play the playback, and you hear, come on, tough guy. And then the recorder shuts off. Like, yeah, I'll be a tough guy. The recorder was off. You have to, like, turn it off.
Like hold the button, too, to shut it off, too, yeah.
It wasn't like bad batteries. It was, you have to turn it off. And she was turned off. Right after I started tough talking, he's like, I'll give you some.
Yeah.
Jordan's been meek ever since.
That's one thing I don't understand, is you will actually provoke things like that. And I don't mess with any of that. That's just ridiculous. I don't want to bring anything home with me or take it off.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's what I don't understand either, is what, they go in there and they start yelling and challenging them. And I'm thinking, especially in a place like that prison, why would you do that when everybody, well, the bulk of the spirits that would be there are bad? You know, it just, I don't understand why you would want to provoke them. I mean, I realize it makes for good TV,
right.
But, I think
there was no cameras.
I think it's annoying TV.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
It kind of drives me nuts.
That was my, like I said, that was like the first time we did it. That's the first cell I went into, and I just thought I was tough stuff. And we moved down two cells, and that's when we got our first EVP.
And, which, now we had someone using dowsing rods in there, and when he, which I, skeptical of that. You know what a dowsing rod is?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? You can find water with dowsing rods.
That's
though.
What I thought it they
works.
Were used for.
And well, they
it works well actually. Yeah.
Some people think because it's looking for energy, and the water's pure, so it has energy. when we were there doing the lesson, and we couldn't get any water, so they were using Kool-Aid. But I'm sorry. Was
this Jim Jones camp?
Yeah. Let's drink some
That was during Sherry Rick Rico's class we were in.
Speaking of which, real quick, Sherry's in the hospital right now. Let's throw some good thoughts, good prayers, and bless her. She's a great woman. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay.
Yeah, hopefully she's doing okay. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 866-514-1600, locally 214-1600.
Right.
Make sure you do the 304 in front of that. That drives me crazy.
Oh, doesn't it, though? You're calling across the street, and you have to put in an additional four numbers. It's irritating.
It is. The other place...
Way to state waste money.
Sugar Shack.
Yeah, the Sugar Shack. We went down... now, that's the only place that you had an experience, well, past the Sugar Shack the second time. But in the first, in one of the corners of the Sugar Shack, we were setting up still with the guy with the dowsing rods, because at this point we're thinking, hey, it works.
Hey, this guy's got the mojo to work. We're at it.
And right at the beginning of the of our recording, you know, I put it down. I say it's recording. And all of a sudden, you have this voice come over. It says, "It's got to get a little more quieter," or something like that.
Yeah.
Which was a little scary, you know.
Jack Nicholson.
He was telling you how to do it.
Yeah. It was really creepy because, you know, we thought we were kind of quiet, but like it was like, okay, it's recording, and then that was our cue to be quiet. But like halfway through it's recording, and you're be quieter. It's like,
yeah, he's like, you're an idiot. Shut up.
All right, so now do I need to take my laptop? How do you play? I'm not taking mine.
But if you got your tape recorder, I mean, you can play it right back. There's speakers on.
Oh, I don't need to load it into Audition or any of that kind of stuff.
Now, if we end up finding something, yeah, throw it on the computer.
Which is one of the things we want to do next week. That's once we get back, you know, go through everything, find what we got, and then hopefully play some, during the show. Mm-hmm. Like to have John and everybody, whoever goes with us, come on the air, talk about what happened, talk about John being chased out and stuff like that. Yeah, try me. Shut up, John! The baseball bat.
I think you'll like it. I think
we get a map? Will they give us a map?
I'm pretty sure they give out a map. The way we're going to do it, we're allowed in at 11:30, start doing registrations till midnight. We're going to hold a quick class, run through the equipment and how to use it, what to do. And the pen will take us on a tour and take us through everywhere, show us where the unlocked doors are, how to get in them, where to be careful of, because some of the steps are old and unfurbished, I guess. There's a gym floor. Be quiet, Eric. One of the gym floors, it's like a second floor thing, but the whole middle of the floor is completely buckled up, and if you step on it, you fall through.
Oh, nice.
So you can't step in that. they tell you where to go, where it's dangerous to go, but, I mean, you're allowed in it.
Uh-huh.
And then we're on our own.
What about the infirmary? You would think there'd be a lot of activity in the infirmary.
I mean, we got some orbs, but, I mean, that's neither here nor there, you know.
Yeah, those are unimpressive.
Now, I know
I
when
want
we
picture,
were there,
picture.
Yeah. Scott, were you with me when we were upstairs in the infirmary and we thought we heard something?
I don't remember that.
Okay. I think it must have been someone else, but we thought we heard something before. But, it could be anything.
Yeah.
That's the, it's an old building. It could be a mouse. Could be a bat, which I hate.
I doubt that there's mice. I think they're probably rats by now.
Yeah, if you see something, if you see an ROUS, be careful.
ROUS.
Rodent of unusual size.
Oh, God.
Has any of you watched Princess Bride?
Yes.
ROUS.
Yeah.
Fire Swamp, right?
Fire Swamp, yeah.
Love.
Right on.
Yeah.
Sad times.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't either.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Embrace your geek hood. So I know I'm excited.
No! That's how painful it was.
We should probably...
Nick, I am your father.
We should probably take away Jordan's computer from ever coming back.
Speaking of which, the last time I was on this show, I think Jordan had the same outfit on. Is that your radio outfit?
What is that?
I don't know.
Anybody that's listened to the show for a while knows
Nick needs a computer. I need clothes.
Jordan loves Mothman. And so he went down. He got some T-shirts.
Oh.
And it says, turn over.
Watch your back.
Bit. Watch your
men
back
in black.
For the men in black.
Yeah.
And does it have anything
Which has nothing to do with Mothman.
Is that what you say, the men in black
one? I guess.
It has everything to do with the Mothman.
Right, yeah. He's the genetic experiment.
Now, usually, I always find that if I'm here, I either have this shirt on or I have my fire department shirt on. It's usually one or the other.
That's because that's all he owns.
That's because those are the only shirts that I wash. Yeah, you hear to hear, folks.
More information than people really need. And you're out there searching for a woman, and this is what you throw out there. It's just sad, Jordan.
Hey,
sad.
You know,
love the smell of a man, huh?
I don't want them to be surprised when they get it. You know?
No false advertising here.
All the cards are on the table. This is me, baby.
And they're all jokers.
Hail to the king, baby.
And they stand straight up. About yourself.
Just let them walk to the washer.
All right. So the plan for this week on Friday.
Yes. Tell everybody where and when.
Did you want to meet at the McDonald's? Our tradition is to always meet at the McDonald's.
Too many people to meet in the McDonald's.
I'm picking up the pizza from DeCarlo's at 11 o'clock. I am on my way to the pen.
I would say between 20 after and 11:30 would be a good time.
To just meet in front.
There's parking right in front of the pen, so right on the same side of the road as the pen you park.
And contrary to what has been said, we are literally not locked in. I mean, if somebody chooses to leave, they can leave.
There is the security guard that's running it will be at the front watching the in and out because one of the reasons they're there is for safety. You know, she doesn't want people running in and out while we're here. Let's say somebody who didn't pay, somebody who's a crazy lunatic. Let's say Scott gets in.
We have to be careful of him. I know.
You know, he sounds like an angry gremlin. She's looking out for our best interest, or he's looking out. The past couple times it was a woman for us. But she'll be there watching who's going in and who's going out, you know, kind of taking care of that whole aspect. There's smoking allowed outside the front gate. You can't smoke when you're inside the limits of the pen. No alcohol. I'm stressing that. No alcohol.
There's enough spirits already.
Please don't drink and then come there because you're going to be useless to everybody around you.
No drinking and honey.
Yeah.
This is
a mission. This is something serious because we want to bring it to the listeners. So.
People are playing They're paying money. I was looking at Lola.
There is a coming.
There's a group from North Carolina coming.
From North Carolina.
I talked to her today. She's bringing all kinds of new high-tech equipment. She's going to be showing you guys, or those of you going, what it does and how to use it. Maybe they said they'd let you walk around with them and actually use the equipment. I mean, this is going to be a fun thing. It has the opportunity to be really fun for everybody. It's something that we want to do every year. If we can handle it right. And I got faith in you, Ohio Valley.
And we've learned a lot from the experience, you know, of how to organize it. This is our first time, so, you know, if we've messed something up, you know, understand that we're learning.
Not a surprise.
Not a surprise. But, you know, in other words, you know, we're looking to improve. If you have any suggestions on better ways to organize that kind of stuff, you know, we'd be more than happy to hear about it. So. Now I know we have some information on directions and stuff already up on our the blog on our website or the WKKX blog.
Those all disappeared, so I'll have to put that back up there.
Route 7 South, cross the bridge into Moundsville, go straight through the light to Jefferson Avenue, hook a left.
Eric Violet, you are a
bam.
You can't miss
it. Wow.
It's a huge,
get into Moundsville, turn left, and it's a giant building that looks like...
Yeah, go through the light first. Go through the light first, straight through the light.
And if you see the mound and you don't see the prison,
you're blind.
Check your glasses.
Turn around.
You're blind. At least in your right eye, you're blind.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, though. Next week, we're going to be talking about it. We might have some more guests coming on. Hopefully we'll have some evidence to play.
Next week we're gonna be playing our evidence and maybe get some stories of what happened and what went on and who got scared first.
Yeah. So if you have any bets,
take me with
bets,
the over.
Yeah. If you have any bets running, you know, we'll next week you can get your pay up.
Well, folks, we've tortured you enough this week. Until next week, don't be afraid. Only believe.